Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if you're a regular listener to Basic Gospel, you'll recognize the name of our very special guest today. He is Larry Alex Taunton. And Larry, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Glad to be with you guys.
Good to have you today. We'll be discussing a most interesting and important topic with Larry today, friends. So let's get going and turn to Basic Gospel's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, when you read the Word of God, you see that everything kind of distills down to life and death. God created us fully alive. Sin entered into the picture. Death was the consequence. The wages of sin is death. And now Christ has come on the scene, and he was raised from the dead. And in that resurrected reality, he offers us life. And that's the story. We are dead in trespasses and sins, and we receive Christ, and we cross over from death to life. And we see that reality in just about every single area of life. It's something that has been front and center in our news for a long time. It's the abortion issue. Recently, several states have passed wonderful laws, the latest being in the state of Alabama last week. And Larry wrote a very courageous article that appeared in Fox News. Over 6,000 comments on this article, and we wanted to invite Larry on to talk about it, and to really talk about what's underneath and what's really fueling the vitriol from the left as far as this issue is concerned. So, Larry, we're so honored to have you. As I've said, you're the most interesting guy in the world, and we're pleased that, you know, when you do go on talk shows, ours is one of them.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's good to be with you.
Well, tell us, you're from Alabama, so this law that Kay Ivey signed into law last week is a real victory as far as the pro-life movement is concerned. What prompted you to write this article that appeared in Fox?
You know, my wife is a labor and delivery nurse, and the two of us have for the whole of our marriage, we have felt pretty passionate about the pro-life issues, and she stays very abreast of what goes on in this issue, and we both find ourselves discussing it quite a lot, and we've just been increasingly horrified by the move, not just towards abortion, but late term abortions. And you increasingly have Democratic candidates who embrace infanticide and what I would call the Peter Singerization of the American left. Peter Singer, the Princeton bioethicist, who has long argued that that mothers should get, you know, roughly a month with their newborn children to determine if they want them or if they want to euthanize them. And that was once deemed to be a extremely radical position. But this is where the left is going.
Yeah, most definitely. And just keeps pushing the line, doesn't it? And it's horrifying to see. And then any opposition against it, instead of talking through the issue rationally, they're irrational, and they're vile in their attacks. And we saw that. I know last Thursday, after the bill was signed, we were watching TV. Gina and I were that night, and Jimmy Fallon comes on, and in his opening monologue, he tells a couple of jokes, and then he wades into this. Alabama law, and he tried to tell a couple of jokes, and oh my gosh, they fell so flat. Then I turned over and thought, well, maybe Colbert is saying something too. I want to see if people are actually laughing at his jokes. They weren't laughing either. Why? Because this isn't a laughing matter. And I know in your article, you've highlighted some things that took place on Saturday Night Live, a cartoon that Jim Carrey drew in response to this. And you talk about kind of how they've lashed out, but also point out some of the ironies and the hypocrisy in their positions.
Yeah, well, you had Leslie Jones on Saturday Night Live saying in a rant that was more befitting a YouTube girl fight video, as she was saying, I don't know if anybody's heard yet, but women are human beings too. And I thought, wow, how interesting. I wonder if she's considered the corollary that she has raised, which is, you know, babies are human beings too. And then you have Jim Carrey drawing his tweets these days often are accompanied by his own drawings, cartoons, really. And one of them depicts Kay Ivey as a face on an unborn baby. Her face has been imposed on an unborn baby, and you see a, I don't know if it's supposed to be a syringe or forceps or exactly what it is, plunging into the side of Kay Ivey's head and blood spurting forth. And then he put, with the tweet, he wrote something like, we need to make sure that we abort babies before they become governors of the state of Alabama. And I thought Carrie has unintentionally with his, and I mean, it is a grotesque drawing, but it is an accurate depiction of an abortion. It's an accurate depiction of what happens every time a child is aborted. And yet here he is drawing it and unwittingly acknowledging this, what an abortion is, in his drawing of the murder of Governor Kay Ivey. So I really think that kind of at the bottom of all of this, guys, is you're hearing a lot of red state rhetoric. You know, just Google red states and you will see, you know, the abortion comes up, you know, at the top of your search results when you look at what's going on in the news. And it, you know, the Boston Globe has declared that the, you know, red states are on an abortion bender. And then you're hearing a lot of condescending remarks about the red states and, you know, the hairy unwashed masses. But I think really at the bottom, it isn't because they really believe that it's racism that's driving the pro-life movement or ignorance or backwardness or whatever it is that they want to say. They know that at the bottom of this is a Christianity which thrives in the red states and is at the bottom of a political position which they hate.
Most definitely, most definitely. And that's what I was so proud of as far as your writing of this article, is that you brought that to the foreground so that people can really see what the underlying issue is, what really is driving this progressive left. And we're going to talk more about that after we come back from this short break.
Our very special guest today, Larry Alex Taunton, and we're talking about this issue that is foremost in our society today and literally around the world. And we'll continue the conversation in just a few moments. But friends, if you benefit from what you hear on this program every day, then we have achieved a part of our goal, but not the entire goal. Yet so many others need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. So those of you who hear this good news every day, we ask you to help us move this message forward, because not everybody gets to hear of the freedom and grace we have in Jesus Christ every day, and they need to. We need to get that message to them by every means available, and you can help. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we'll send you a copy of Richard Pfeiffer's powerful story, What's It Worth? We want you to have a copy, so please make your gift today and help us get the message out by every means available. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Back with Larry Alex Taunton, and thank you again so much for joining us today. About 9 months ago, my daughter Mackenzie gave birth to our first grandson, Kai, and I was in the room, and just the miracle of birth was just amazing to watch and to witness. But one of the things that we did with Mackenzie during the pregnancy was to go and see the sonograms that her OBGYN did for her. And it, normally it was just a 2D sonogram, but we could see Kai in the womb. And then a couple of times we went up and we paid extra and did a 4D version of the sonogram, and the detail of it was just amazing. I mean, it's not just a flat image. You get to see kind of the fullness of the baby, and you can even see some of the movement, how the imaging works. You actually see some of the movement of the baby. It was quite spectacular. And you just realize that, hey, this isn't a little blob of just human stuff. This is a real human being. And it you can see the detail of the real human being very early on in the pregnancy. And we have to realize that any talk about abortion and that sort of thing is affecting the life of a human being. And I think that's why it's so important for us to truly understand the gospel message, that it is a message about life. It's about choosing life. When we choose Jesus, we're choosing life, and we're being rescued out of this realm of darkness known as sin and death. But for some reason, you know, the folks that are pro-choice, they just don't see that. And it's just weird that, you know, they're so blind to something that is just so apparent.
Yeah, if I may cite a passage of scripture, Romans 1 comes to mind, which speaks of, you know, having suppressed the knowledge of God. And, you know, once you suppress that knowledge, you suppress the truth, you end up perverting the truth, and ultimately you pervert life itself. I mean, you start drawing all kinds of whacked out conclusions. I think the left knows they're not, you know, all stupid on that side. I think they know that this is a human life. I think that they want to hide from themselves and from others the reality of what they're doing, and hence the reason they use euphemisms, you know, like termination of pregnancy and fetus and tissue. And I was just reading how a woman who formerly worked for Planned Parenthood, which again is another euphemism. I mean, what greater lie can there be than Planned Parenthood when you're actually trying to prevent parenthood by killing the child? But in any case, I was just reading how a former employee said that they were all told that whatever you do, you never call it a baby, you know, never use that language when speaking, you know, to the mother. You always just use words like procedure, you know, and medical care and, you know, the removal of tissue, this kind of thing. So I think that the left is so blind, self-blinded in their seething hatred for their political opponents, that they will never, ever agree with conservatives on this issue any more than they would agree to the, you know, to the color of an orange.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, as you were talking, a passage came to mind, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." And I think as folks get deeper and deeper into the lies that they're putting out there, that they become deceived themselves in doing that, and blinded to what's really going on. But I know some of the comments that you've received on this article, those 6,000 comments, a large number of those weren't, you know, congratulatory comments. They were coming after you, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, Bob, the way these things work, and I mean, you might say in some sense I argue for a living. I mean, I write for a living and I speak for a living, but it always seems to end up in an argument. And what often people on the other side do is they don't stay on a cue with the argument. What they do is they attack you personally. that go after you personally. And that usually is an indicator, however upsetting it might be to you, it's usually an indicator that they don't have an argument, that this is where they have to take it. And that's what you're seeing right now. And this is kind of my point in this article. I also have another one coming out on Tuesday in USA Today that's, you know, makes this point even a little stronger, is all the rhetoric that is being dumped out on red states. I mean, all the name calling, and it's a bigotry. It's a bigotry that is in fashion with the left right now to call people in red states, make fun of everything from weight to intelligence to, you know, the New York Times actually published a piece, I think it was last week, you know, saying that a woman, a blue dot in a red state, as she referred to herself, said that it is possibly the worst time to be, quote, a sentient being living in the South. I mean, how arrogant can you possibly be? And yet this is the kind of stuff that is being published by once August, you know, respectable leftist papers like the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the New Yorker, the Boston Globe. They're all dumping out this kind of stuff, and you just kind of wonder where have the standards of journalism gone, to say nothing of the arguments themselves.
Yeah, we're living in some really just incredible times as far as that is concerned. And yeah, standards have just gone out the window on lots and lots and lots of fronts.
Imagine imagine where do you think I could possibly get an article published where I might say something like it is quite possibly the worst time to be a sentient being living in Boston or New York or Los Angeles. I mean, who would publish that?
No, nobody. Absolutely nobody.
No, they shouldn't.
But you can get away with saying that of a red state.
Yeah. And again, the hypocrisy to think that a baby in the womb is not a sentient being. I read an article today that was published in National Review, I think, and the lady who wrote it was back during the time that Roe v. Wade was passed. She was a hippie, a feminist, and all of that, and all for it, all for women's rights and that sort of thing. But in her mind, she never believed that this would become the option, the number one birth control option, that it would just be done in rare cases when the life of the mother was on the line. But of course, that's not what happened. And she said she it's changed over time, and now she's certainly pro-life in every way, shape, or form. And she said one of the things that changed her was there was a physician that was pro-choice at the time, but he went in and he watched an abortion, had never seen an abortion, but watched it. And they actually stuck a needle down into the mother's stomach. And he said as that needle went in, he started to see it move. And that baby was fighting for its life. And that needle just kept moving and moving and moving as he struggled and struggled and struggled inside the womb. And then finally, he just died and the needle stood upright. And he said it just changed his whole view of that issue. And that's what we have to realize, that this isn't a blob. This is a real human being. And thank God, Larry, that you're standing up, and you and Lori are standing up to protect and to do everything that you can to talk about this in the public square. I know there are lots and lots and lots of Christians that are doing all sorts of things. I had the opportunity to speak at a crisis pregnancy center in Atlanta, Georgia, a number of years ago, and they are Christians, fully committed to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and their work there is just amazing. They've purchased some sonogram machines, and they say every time that a mom sees the actual baby in the womb, they make the choice for life. And it's a powerful, powerful reality. So there's lots of people doing all kinds of work in this area. And Larry, just tell us about some of the things that you've seen that you've been involved with.
Well, I'm not politically active in the sense of I don't participate in any marches or, you know, I'm not promoting any specific legislation or anything of that nature. I, in my own world, I'm pretty focused on, you know, either promoting an idea or attacking one. In this case, the pro-life worldview or the, you know, and really it is kind of, and you're sort of saying this just a moment ago, a pro-abortion position. I mean, they want them to have abortions. And, you know, I've met Governor Ivey. When she said in signing that legislation that it reflected Alabamians' deep-held belief that all human life was sacred, I believe she means it. I don't think that's just a political ploy. I was asked a couple of years ago to come down and open a session of the legislature with prayer. She was then the lieutenant governor. Met her briefly. I don't pretend to know her, but she had nothing really to gain in talking to me and speaking of her own faith, which I took to be very sincere. And yet these are things that are being mocked, you know, being made fun of. And you know, so I really think that that Christians, wherever you are, and anybody who's listening, even if you're not a Christian, my point isn't that it's only Christians who are pro-life. Certainly there are many pro-lifers who have no faith at all or of another faith. But whatever your religious views, if you are a pro-lifer, hold your ground. Don't be intimidated by the browbeating and the condescension that is just being vomited forth from progressives in this country, as if theirs is the default moral position. It is an immoral position. It is a horrifying position. And you know, I think one day we have to stand before God to give account of the things that we do. And I certainly wouldn't want this one to count against me.
Yeah, and that's I want to end on this. We've just got about a minute. There's lots of women out there who have chosen to do abortions, and we as Christians have something to say to them as well. And I love the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where it says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. And he goes on to say that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That this grace of God that has been given to us in Christ Jesus can reach anyone, and it's there and it's available. So on two fronts, we don't need to shrink back from our position on moral ground, and we certainly don't need to shrink back from this great gospel message that offers hope and life to anyone who will simply receive Jesus Christ. So we have some great news, some great hope that we can offer in this arena as well. So, Larry, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you jumping on, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys. You guys take care.
Okay, you too.
Friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your support to keep the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ on the air and online. We ask you to help get the message out, the message of the new covenant, to as many people as possible. Please help with your gift today. You can donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for our friend Larry Taunton, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow as we continue on the that wonderful series, The Power of Eight, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.